Here is the mystery, hidden for ages and generations. He says it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The totality of divinity is encapsulated in Christ. And it says the location of this Christ is in you. And the scripture is the revelation of who God is, what he has done, and of who you are. It's an album. It's a photo album. Hear the word. When you read the word, it's like beholding your face in a mirror. When you stand before the mirror, who do you see on the other side? You. But in this case, you are seeing the perfect you on the other side. Amen.
He's making you a living, walking, talking heaven on earth. Your well-being is our priority to God.
Your well-being is not just a demonstration of his love, it's a marketing strategy. Hallelujah. Heaven on earth. Genesis 1, 26, 28.
Glory. That's a good place to shout.
Amen. Genesis 21, 26 to 28, and Colossians 1, 26, 27. Amen. All right. We'll pick it up from there. And God said, okay, can we read in concert? It will help us participate. Amen. All right. Genesis 1, 26, 1 to go. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. I can't hear you. I'm only hearing myself. Are you ready? 27. One to go. Good. You are doing well. Yes. Hallelujah. Praise God. Just to highlight something there before we go forward. This is, and so God created man in his own image, right? In his image created he them. Created man, male and female created he them. Amen. And I showed you from the last week that God is gender sensitive. Praise God. Hallelujah. That means he's not a Calvinist, they call it. Glory to God. The idea of man is generic. So there's a he man and there is a she man. Are you with me? The human spirit does not have gender. It is the emotional and the physical expression that differs. Praise God. So he states very clearly in 26, and he said, God created man in his image. Then he splitted when he came to form. There was a male man and then the female man. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Just a quick one. Colossians 1, 26, 27 now. Colossians 1, 26, 27. We'll read it in concert again. Are you there? Outpouring on my mind. Amen. Hallelujah. It says, even the mystery which was hid, which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but is now made manifest unto his saints. All right, we'll read 27 together. Now, one to go. Hallelujah. That's a powerful one. Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Now, we began to talk about heaven on earth last week. Heaven on earth. Heaven on earth. Heaven on earth. Now, God is a God of purpose. God is a God of intention. He doesn't do anything on the earth without a purpose. And when he does a thing, nothing on the earth, nothing from the kingdom of darkness is powerful enough to stop it. So in Genesis 1, 26, we saw God's mission statement, meaning we saw God's mind as far as his reason for the creation of man is concerned. Have it together. He says, now let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion on the earth. And we say that this was God declaring that he intended that man be his, that man created in his image, be his vice regent on the earth. Have it together. That means the earth should be governed by God through man. Glory to God. And then we went into explaining that earth was designed to be the colony of heaven. And I explained to you the idea of colony. The idea of an extension of another kingdom in a territory. And that is the way you ought to think. That is God's plan. That is God's purpose, which is eternal. I'm sure some of you were surprised when you read in the book of Revelation and you still saw earth there. How many of you saw it? It said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth coming down. It was talking about the new Jerusalem. He talked about the new earth at the end of Revelation. I mean, that opposes traditional Christianity. Traditional Christianity teaches that we are going to heaven and that's all. But it's not true. In Revelation, we're told that there's a new earth. There's a new earth. There's a new earth. And that shows you that the concept of earth was designed to be eternal. Oh, I know I just offended somebody's theology. It was designed to be eternal. Why? God's intent is to have an extension of heaven on the earth, where man can govern, when man can taste what it means to rule. Hallelujah. What it means to have dominion. Listen, you cannot have two kings in the same territory. Are you with me? Uncle Charlie is old now, but we're not sure he'll ever rule England. Amen. But see, one of the things that could be done is to create an extension and keep him there to rule. Are you with me? This was God's design. And sin was not strong enough to stop God's plan. So God created Adam and Eve to have dominion over the earth. Remember that at that time, Satan was already on the earth. So Satan was included in the things that Adam was to rule over. In fact, when you read that, he kept him in the garden to tend the garden. When you read in the original Hebrew, it reads, to keep the garden from all intruders. Are you with me? So God's purpose was for man to live on the earth, take care of the garden, and replicate Eden around the world. He's right there in Genesis 1 and 2. Are you here? To replicate Eden, Eden was a realm where heaven and earth amalgamated. That is the idea of Eden. Eden is not just a garden with apples and mangoes. No. Eden is a design of heaven on earth. Are you with me? That is the design of heaven and earth. A place where there is a juxtaposition of two realms. You participate in earth and you participate in heaven at the same time. That is the concept of Eden. We're told that in the cool of the day, God will come walking in the garden to have fellowship with man. That means it was a place of perfect fellowship. It was a place of heaven on earth. So Adam's assignment was to replicate that around the world. And sin came. But the argument is, did sin stop God's plan? No. Right in Genesis, in that Genesis tree, God introduces redemption plan. That look, this thing is temporary. I have a cure. I have an answer. Man will be restored to that place again, where he can be a living manifestation of heaven on earth. We're told that there were rivers that divided the garden. But we're not told that Adam had boats through which he crossed the rivers. You know why? He was a perfectly supernatural being. Until man fell, he began to look for ways to conquer the earth that he was created to rule over. Are you with me? We're not told how long he lived until he fell. Then the time clock started ticking. There are many things we can draw out of God's plan for man in the garden called Eden, or in the garden east of Eden. But my point is, sin did not stop God's plan. Jesus came as the perfect sacrifice for sin. Jesus came and he sanctified that which was polluted by Adam and made a way back to the Father. Hallelujah. Remember, Adam was chased out of the garden and God sent cherubims of fire with source of fire to guard the garden so that man no longer had entrance into the garden. But thank God Jesus came. Glory to God forevermore. And then he came as perfect sacrifice of sin, but it didn't stop there. Listen, if your Christianity stops at escapism, then you have not seen the picture of what God is seeing. You have not seen clearly what God is seeing. What is escapism? Well, I'm saved by grace on my way to heaven, and that's all. No, that is not all. That couldn't be all. The forgiveness of sin was a means to an end. Very important foundation, but it was a means to an end. Are you with me? So we go to Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, and then we saw something there. He says, we are citizens of heaven. Give me Amplified. We are citizens of heaven. We are citizens of heaven. Our citizenship, New King James says, is in heaven. And I told you that the Greek word is politeuma. Politeuma means extensions of another kingdom on the earth. That's what he's saying. Are you with me? You can go and study it for yourself. And in fact, you can study the Roman, the Greek history. Why do we have Alexandria in Egypt? Okay. Why do we have Freetown in Liberia? Why do we have... why is your name Jackson? Praise God. Are you with me? Now, those are little manifestations of what we call kingdom extension or the colony system. You're aware that Nigeria was a colony of Britain. Are you with me? This is why I'm dressed like this. I'm feeling good. Yes, this is why you sit tea in Kano at 12 noon. Hot sun. Why? You've been cultured. Are you with me? All right, so this is what the Bible is saying. It said, but we are citizens of the state, the commonwealth, the homeland, which is in heaven. Remarkable. Remarkable. Now, I need you to pay attention to this. Have you ever met an American before? Have you ever sensed the arrogance with which they proclaim that they are American citizens? Oh, talk to me, Glory Zone. Are you here? Has it ever happened to any of you? Or you travel to Israel and meet a typical Jew. He's proud. That is a Jew. Very proud. He sees you as a second-class human. A typical Jew. Yes. He sees the Gentile anyway, not me. He sees the Gentile because we are superior. We are the true Jew. We are the true circumcision. Let's not get into that. We are praying for them. Didn't you read it in Galatians 3? He said the Jerusalem which is now is in bondage with our children. He calls it the harlot. In Galatians 4. He's in bondage with our children. Except you are going for tourism. It's not a spiritual requirement to go to Jerusalem. You are visiting with the harlot. I didn't say that. He said, but the church is the Jerusalem which is from above. It's free. And is the mother of us all. But back to my point, did you ever meet an American? The roughness, you know, years ago I met one that came to Nigeria for so on, and then he was trying to let me know that he is an American citizen. Amen. And I was not bothered because I knew I came from a higher kingdom. It's called Zion. Are you with me? But here is my point. If men with earthly citizenship of a faulty system are so confident, probably because of the technological advancement, probably because of the development. Okay, the world sees them as world leaders, okay, as maybe the most developed economy until recently. They have many natural advantages that gives them confidence. So they can boldly declare. It is said that they don't leave their citizens at war. They evacuate everybody. They have value for their citizens. So, if men from such faulted system could be so proud of where they came from and be so confident that, look, they are American citizens. Look, they are ambassadors, in a sense, of the United States of America. How much more the believer? Is it because it's spiritual? How much more the believer? The Bible says, if we believe the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. That means if men could be confident about the system that is faulty, that is not perfect, how confident should you be about an origin that is faultless? About a kingdom that is greater than all? How confident should you be? That is what he's saying. But we are citizens of the state, commonwealth, homeland, which is in heaven. That means my hometown is heaven. Glory to God. My hometown is Zion. Listen, it's time we begin to talk like this. It's time we revisit our conversation. Meaning our communication, that is. We revisit it. We are from Zion. We are extensions of heaven on the earth. Listen, understanding and confession according to what you understand brings a change even to your body, to your entire system. Are you with me? It breeds confidence. He says we are polytheomas of heaven. We are extensions of heaven on the earth. So when those, we call them occupational tube, right? When the conquering troop is done conquering the territory, and they send the politiomas there. What do? They culture that land to resemble the mother kingdom. So we are not bending to earthly culture. No. Our assignment, our job, our ministry is to culture the various systems on the earth to reflect the heavenly kingdom. Hallelujah. Are you with me? But I told you last week, it begins with you. Because the will of God, the kingdom of God is first established within the hearts of man. Then from there it begins to spread. Glory to God. It says, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done where? In earth. In earth. In earth. And I taught you the principle of humus. Earth there, where earth is humus, right? And that's the root word for human. Glory to God. That means earthborn. Are you with me? Referring to the body. That means the first place the will of God is done is in a man. Is in a man. And when we speak about kingdom advancement, you have to understand that first. But the first layer of kingdom advancement is the establishment of the lordship of Jesus in the heart of men. Are you with me? And I will step it up a little bit. And we said that, and this is where we're going to begin this week, that God has set up heaven in your heart, and he wants to manifest heaven through your life. Glory to God. What does that mean? You can write it down. That means your well-being is a marketing strategy for kingdom advancement. Your well-being is a marketing strategy for kingdom advancement. Did you get that? We said many things last week, but you should get materials. I believe I touched on the image of God, drawing yourself worth from whose image you bear, not from the earthly things you have. Go and get that. It's very important. All right, let's step up to it. Your well-being is a marketing strategy for kingdom advancement. So miracles, prosperity, are not just the act of God's mercy. Well, they are the act of God's love and mercy, but beyond that is a statement. And this is something I wanted to catch in the course of this teaching. That your well-being is a statement. Your healing and health is a statement. Your prosperity is a statement. Your sound mind is a statement. Your supernatural accomplishment is a statement. A statement that advertises the King. A statement that markets the gospel. A statement that markets the kingdom of God. A statement that markets God's intent and purposes. Now, why am I saying this? I'm saying this so you get interested in what God is interested in concerning your life. You know, there are those who just think, well, serving God is just about, I want to be a missionary in one village. I want to be spent for God. That is important. But it begins with you. The quality and the excellence of life that you live on the earth is a marketing strategy for kingdom advancement. That's what I'm saying. That means if you're a mediocre, you have not helped God so much. I wish there were people here. If you are thinking small, you have not helped the kingdom so much. Are you with me? Didn't you read in the book of Revelation that they came and cast their crowns at his feet as instruments of worship? That means your crown is symbolic of your achievement. It's symbolic of supernatural accomplishment. Are we together? That means it can be used as instrument of worship. And casting it down there in a sense means using it as an avenue to attract more people to the kingdom. Remember I told you last week, according to John, I believe that should be John 20, 30 to 31. The Bible says there were many miracles that Jesus did, but these have been written. You can put it up. But these have been written so that we may believe. I think you should put it up. Put it up. Let me read it and show you something there. I'm building on and I need it to follow me. So the miracle working power of God is not to daze us. Remember, we are also dealing with Jesus as a prototype man. I established that last week. As a perfect example. Are you with me? We saw in Acts chapter 8 how that Stephen went into Samaria, the city of Samaria. And remember, there's the region of Samaria and there's the city of Samaria. Amen. He went to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. The Bible says the people gave heed, seeing the miracles which he did. they gave heed, seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits cried out with a loud voice, came out of many, and those who were lame began to walk. They gave heed, seeing the miracles which he did. So the display of that supernatural was to point them to Christ. I need you to follow me. It was to point them to Christ. So your well-being, your prosperity, the supernatural life of the believer that we must contend for, that we must live, that we must insist on, is not just so that we'll feel good. Are you with me? It's about pointing men to Jesus. It's about making Jesus famous. Is it because Jesus wants to be famous? No. It's about what they will get when they get to Jesus. Are you with me? He said, there are also many other signs and miracles which Jesus performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. This is John writing. And I need to pay attention. Next verse. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ. These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ. Many times Christians read the miracles that Jesus did and they are just blown away. If all you got was getting blown away, you missed God's point. Are you with me? Are you aware that the nation that saw the greatest manifestation of God's power and signs did not believe? Israel in the wilderness. No people ever saw that. I mean, raw manifestation. They saw the plagues in Egypt. Do you understand? They saw the firstborn of Egypt slain. From Pharaoh to he that liberate on the field. When they were on their way, they saw the Red Sea parted. Mashakibalakaya. See, it's not river. This is not River Kaduna we're talking about. Amen. Amen. I've flown over the Red Sea a couple of times. It's large. You can feel the effect 39,000 feet above sea level. Amen. Are you with me? That is sea. Then it was splitted. They saw it, yet they doubted God. They complained that they were hungry. Manna means what is this? Came down from heaven. That means food, angels' food came down from heaven for them to eat. They wanted meat. A wind blew quails and hit them on either side of the camp and they ate. We can go on and on and on. The Bible says they hardened their hearts. They hardened their hearts. That means God's focus is their faith. Are you with me? It's the same thing the Bible is saying. The miracles are not to daze you. No. But to give you sufficient faith to believe. That is God's focus. To believe the Christ. He said there were many things that he wrote that were not written. But these have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. And that believing you may have life. That's the focus. You may have life. What life is Zoe? The same miracle life that made Jesus live the miraculous life. Are you getting me now? So God's focus is not that you get distracted by the miracles, but that you believe and receive the same life that produces the miraculous life. Because God's purpose is that man be his vice regent on the earth. Are you getting it now? So when he sent the prototype man, it's for man to believe. And so that through the believing, man may have this life. Zoe, the God kind of life. So that you too can be a living, walking, talking heaven on earth. Just like Jesus. He was limitless. Jesus had no consciousness of limitation, of lack, of fear. Of scarcity. No, he didn't think it. He believed they came down from heaven. It's the same thing. He wants you. You have believed. And believing, what did you get when you believe? Life. He said that whoso believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, but have eternal life. That means when you believed, you received something. You received something. And this is what I want you to be conscious of as I teach. John wrote it. He says, I have written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. He began by saying, this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has life. Has life. Has Zoe. Has life. Has Zoe. Do you believe in Zoe? Do you believe in the life of God at work in you? Paul was writing to Timothy. He said, fight the good fight of it. Lay hold on eternal life. Oh my goodness. Lay hold on eternal life. Have you learned how to lay hold on eternal life? Or you are still depending on the world system? He says, fight the good fight of faith. And he shows you the tools. Lay hold on eternal life. I love the Greek word. I've told you here. Epilambanomai. It means to seize for safety. In fact, when you study deeply, it means to seize like you will get a hold of a lifeline. That means you don't have any other option. To seize for safety. It also means to seize for accomplishment. Lay hold on eternal life. Hallelujah. Lay hold on eternal life. Thank you, Jesus. Lay hold on eternal life. Meko bakesa. Lay hold on eternal life. For life, for your daily living, lay hold on eternal life. Glory to God. In business, lay hold on eternal life. You have an advantage. You have a leverage. Glory to God. You are not all by yourself. In your family life, lay hold on eternal life. Your husband suddenly starts misbehaving, lay hold on eternal life. Your wife suddenly starts misbehaving, lay hold on eternal life. Your children suddenly start misbehaving, lay hold on eternal life. Meaning, fall back to what you have. Hallelujah. Listen. There are diets of champions. There are revelations that will equip the church to take the nations. This is one of them. A church that doesn't understand this cannot be strong enough to culture systems and cities and sectors. It's impossible. With what? Because the sons of Belial will come to threaten you. Are you with me? God wants to, I want to be a politician for Jesus. We are not arguing. But when you enter there, they will come for you. What will be your response? Will you run back to your village? Will you run and say, I'm not doing again? When the battle becomes fierce, or you will lay hold on eternal life. Are you with me? God has shown you a vision of how you will take care of orphans in their thousands, and stepping out to just take care of 20, you are stranded already. And you are saying, I don't even know who sent me. You are complaining. No, lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold on eternal life. I told you, it means like you will seize a lifeline. No many options. No other option, actually. No other option. That means you will walk that life. Oh, like the yeast walketh the dough. You will walk that life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Living, walking, talking, heaven on earth. It begins with you. It begins with the excellence of your personality. It begins with the excellence of your being. It begins with your result. It begins with your insistence that, look, I told you, God is ready to invest in your well-being. Cooperate with him. Cooperate with him. Didn't you read 3 John 2? That is a statement of priority. What did he say? Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. That's well-being. He says it's a priority. I wish above all things that you be in health, you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. That's a statement of priority. Never forget this, that your well-being is a priority to God. Listen, any apostolic ministry that downplays God's work as far as meeting the needs of the people and sponsoring their well-being is concerned, in the name of Sacrifice and kingdom advancement is in error. Do you understand what I just said? Because that well-being is a marketing strategy. Success commands mentorship. Are you with me? Your well-being, I can give you stories upon stories upon stories. You see, when the Queen of Sheba came to meet Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 10, you can put it up. In 1 Kings chapter 10, we can read 4 to 9. When they were done showing her the result of the wisdom of God at work in Solomon, she turned poetic. She became a worship leader. Amen. He says, and when the Queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he built, the food on his table, the sitting of his servant, can you see excellence? The service of his waiters and their apparel, his cupbearers, his entryway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. She tripped. Yes, she fell under the power, under the anointing of wisdom. Do you understand? Then she said to the king, it was a true report which I heard in my land. In my land about your words and your wisdom. However, I did not believe the words until I came and saw with my own eyes. And indeed, they have was not told me. Your wisdom and prosperity exceed the fame of which I heard. Wow. Happy are your men, and happy are these your servants, who stand continually before you and hear your wisdom. Let me not even go into this. That means you are blessed when you hear certain words. Happy are you that attend church at Glory Zone. Are you with me? No, you know why this is important? Your life in the next 5, 10, 20 years will be a product of the things you've been hearing and the things you are saying. And listen, what you hear over time influences what you see. I've told you have to choose the church you go to carefully. You don't go to a church because it's close to your house. It may ground your future. You know, my mom is around. She was telling me about a certain guy I knew way back who got married to someone we knew. I didn't even know the story. That when they were in the city, and the lady got pregnant and said they were going to one church, that they said nobody should go to the hospital. This lady died. She never went to the hospital for once. Maybe her home attempted to give her. She died with the baby inside. I said he should have been locked up. They should flog him, lock him up for many years. No, for many years. You know why? Because shortly he remarried and now they are going to the hospital now. They just need somebody's daughter to experiment. Don't you think he should have been locked up? But you see, he was in the wrong place. It was church that killed that girl. Hope you know. Oh, you don't know? What do you mean don't go to the hospital? What do you even mean? A pregnant woman? I'm not even go there. Praise God. But you see, I'm trying to buttress my point that the church you go to can be a matter of life and death. This one was instant, but certain manifestations take time. When your brain is programmed very wrongly and you are taught wrongly, let's get back to our point. Say, happy are your servants that stand before you. Hallelujah. You are hearing words reserved for kings, words reserved for royalties. Words. It was like being in the days of Jesus, hearing his words. When they send the people to arrest him, I told you last week, when they heard his words, they said, my God, they dropped their weapons. I said, talk to us, sir. Talk. Talk. Words. They said, no man ever speak like Jesus. Write this somewhere. If you don't value words, you are not going anywhere. If you don't value the quality of words you hear, you're not going anywhere. Struggle continues. You know, Africans are superstitious by design, by background, not by design really, by cultural conditioning. And he said, when you come into Christ, it's one of the things you must win your mind from very quickly. That superstitious approach to everything. When a Christian in Africa has issues, maybe with their finances, and they come and be like, okay, I'll pray for you, but go and listen to Money Matters, part 1 to 10. Okay, read this book, read that book, give yourself 2 months, 8 weeks, stay on these materials. Things will be better. I say, Pastor, is that all? This money I need is next week. The same person talking, if you give them that money they need, they will come back after 2 weeks, after 2 months, after 10 months. Are you with me? It's something you must win your mind from. To honor the excellency of wisdom. Are you here? So the guy will run off. Chances are you not listen to those messages. You won't listen to them. But 1 year he's back. 1 year is too long. 6 months is back. Same issues. Same problem. He wants quick prayer. You know quick prayer? He said, I'll just drop my battle seed. Quick prayer. Quick prayer. Amen. No value for wisdom. No value for wisdom. I'm sure the digression is blessing you. No value for wisdom. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I'm out of time. Amen. Glory to God. Okay, but did we read verse 9? Let's read verse 9, then we'll close. Let's read verse 9. Let's read verse 9 of 1 Kings 10, verse 9. Verse 9 now. He said, bless. This is a heathen queen. Blessed be the Lord your God. She's worshiping Adonai now. Why? Your well-being is a marketing strategy for kingdom advancement. And remember, Jesus told us that there are two signs in this end time. A sign of Noah and a sign of Solomon and the Queen of Sheba. You remember? That means there are two ways we are going to capture the nations in this end time. Never forget this as long as you live. One is direct crusade. That is a sign of Jonah, rather. Sign of Jonah. Jonah went to Nineveh, preached to them en masse, and they repented, right? That is a sign of Jonah. But he told us that also the Queen of Sheba shall come, which is a sign of Solomon. That means in this last day, one of the things God is also going to use to propagate the kingdom is the greatness of his people. Oh, he didn't get that. Question. Was this street evangelism that brought the Queen of Sheba? When you went for street outreach, did you meet the governor there? Amen. Did you jam? Amen. The MD of which of the banks now? Did you jam any MD of the bank there? Amen. They are not there. Glory to God. But wait until you become a billionaire in dollars, they will come. Am I making sense to you? So it told us two signs. There will be the traditional way, go to Nineveh, preach, people repent in sackcloths and ashes. And then there is an emergence. We'll get into that in second service. Christ, the hope of the human race. There's an emergence. There's an emergence that will attract the kings, that will attract the nations. Let me do a little. Let me enter into this a little. Do you have TPT? TPT. Romans chapter 15, verse 12. TPT. Romans 15, verse 12. I'll give it to you and then we'll close. Now, my point here is she became an evangelist. She became a worshiper of the Lord, right? The same thing in the book of Daniel. How many of you remember Daniel? His sound mind and the manifestations of the spirit through Daniel was evangelical. He was evangelical. So God giving him the wisdom was good business for God. Amen. Daniel chapter 2, 46 to 48. Let's read Daniel 2, 46 to 48 first. Then I'll read my TPT or reserve it for second service. Hallelujah. Levros kamadegos. Look at this. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face, prostrated before Daniel, and commanded that they should present an offering, an incense to him. He became a god on the earth. Why? Superiority of manifestation. Am I talking to believers? Superiority of manifestation. superiority of manifestation. He began worship. 47. We're reading to 48. The king answered Daniel and said, truly your God is the God of gods. The Lord of kings, a revealer of secrets, since he could reveal his secret. Verse 48. Then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts. And he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief administrator over all the magicians. So that wise man, there is no Harvard professor. So over Babalawos, he became their HOD. Superiority of manifestation. Wise men, they are magicians. He became their head. And many things to say here. That means you have to have the mental posture to penetrate the marketplace. Don't have that unbiblical holier than thou. Do you understand? Understand the rule of the place. As long as it doesn't violate God's word. And get engaged. Are we together? Glory to God. I'm tempted to say some things. You are in politics. You think you just pray and fast and I'll make you win the elections. No. You pray and fast. You sow your seed. You organize strategic intercession. But get into the game. Understand how the game works. Use your authority. Use your money. Amen. They are doing posters. You say, no, the angels will do your advert for you. You are not serious. Are you here? They are discussing with delegates. You are not doing anything. Let me not talk for that. If I'm a politician, I'll be good at the game. Be good at your game. Be good at your game. In that space, be a mafia. Do you understand? I say, the Lord is my shepherd. You are eating every food they give to you. They can poison your food. Are you with me? It's part of spiritual intelligence. Didn't you know Samuel was going to get killed by Saul? God told him, okay, say I'm going to offer sacrifice there. There is no time to even get into all that. Today, we'll find time to get into that. Christians are just dying for nothing. Are you blessed this morning? Hallelujah. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Lord. Say, I'm an ambassador of heaven on earth. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
We believe the word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.